AYMN Morning Show with your fill-in hosts, Rich Larson and Lisa Peterson. We are so pleased to be joined, even if it's on the phone, by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. I'm very close by, but unable to get to you. I'm very grateful to our plow drivers. I heard them come by at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I just could not remove the snow boulders from the end of my driveway in time. So I'm sorry I'm not there with you in person.
I think that there are a lot of people dealing with the same situation you are. So it's quite okay. But thanks for even like letting us call you. We appreciate that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So before we talk about the things that have been going on in the House this week, I have to ask you, Lisa and I were talking about this a little bit earlier today. You are, of course, the former executive director of the Clean River Partners. So we just and you know you're very much an advocate for farmers and agriculture. So we just assume you know these things.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still in a drought?
I have been wondering that, and I think the answer is we don't know yet because of the way snow is melting and we're not sure about the ground conditions underneath the snow. So sometimes if there's a layer of ice that forms underneath the snow, that will prevent any snow melt from soaking into the ground.
Oh.
Of course, the ground is frozen the first however many inches, but I know what I was talking to folks is that this year, because we got snow early, snow is a great insulator. So
yes, it is.
That we thought that perhaps there might be a more permeable barrier there. So I'm hoping that it sort of also depends then in the spring how the melt works, how fast it is, how the ground melts.
Right.
But this has very much been a thing I've been thinking about and having conversations about. It would be so great if our two-year drought had at least a little reprieve now with all the snow.
Yes.
But I guess the answer, that's a really long, rambling answer to say nobody knows.
No, that was
But it's on the mind.
That was a really good answer. And it got me thinking, so you at one time in your life were a farmer. How does so we've got, you know, we just heard from Bob Matheson, we got 19.7 inches of snow in this which in my mind makes this a monster storm, and we've got, you know, we've had 70 inches of snow this season. And the snowpack is high. How does the melt need to happen? What would be the optimal way for the snow to melt for farmers?
Nice and slow.
Okay.
I think it was last year. I remember reading reports up on the North Shore where they just had incredible snowpack.
Yep.
And then suddenly they had like 45 degree days.
Yeah.
And everything melted at once and there wasn't enough time for the ground to thaw. So it basically just all went into the rivers and the creeks and the streams and took out bridges and you know, didn't have time to like soak into the ground. It went to like the surface water places that it does. And so we want a nice snow, gentle thaw in the spring.
Right. So like starting March 1st, 32 degree days every day for 2 months. Would that do the trick? Not two months, because I don't want 32 degree days in April.
Rich, it's Minnesota, so we're going to get snow in April.
No, not this year.
I don't want to be so prescriptive, but yes, I mean, a nice slow, warm back up.
Which would actually, I mean, I know that a lot of people are nervous about flooding with all the snow, too. So a nice slow thaw would be a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about the business at hand, because as usual for this session, even though you were only there for 2 days, the House of Representatives got a bunch of stuff done this week, didn't you?
Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's wild. I was trying to think about this week because we had an unprecedented 2 snow days yesterday and Wednesday. The Speaker actually closed the House of Representatives. And when I first got up there and got elected, that same Speaker told us in no uncertain terms, we don't cancel for snow. It's Minnesota. Figure it out.
Wow.
Basically. So I was shocked, but I think that was a good call. I mean, she's responsible for people who literally are from all over the entire state. I talked to a colleague who is up on the range, and he said, you know, sunshine, roads totally clear. And I said, well, it's about time Southern Minnesota, you know, took the snow on your behalf.
Right.
So, yes, we were in session Monday, Tuesday. I did do some remote meetings, but not like committee hearings. But already we're getting some messages about rescheduling committee hearings and whatnot that will be in the evenings next week.
Things are going to get ugly.
Hopefully not weekend hearings, although that may occur.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
But probably next week, Friday, I'll be calling in again because
you'll be in
I'll have a committee meeting on Friday morning. Typically, I'm in district on Fridays, but I have to be up in St. Paul for a committee meeting Friday.
Right.
So, yeah.
So what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about driver's licenses? Or you want to talk about voting rights?
Sure. So those two things passed the Senate.
Oh, they passed the Senate. Okay.
Yep. So we already passed those.
Right.
But I was so pleased to see my colleagues in the Senate pass both of those. The voting rights restoration to people who have served their time for felonies and are out on some sort of probation or papers, them being able to vote. So I imagine probably next week, maybe the governor will sign both those pieces of legislation.
Yep.
I know that we want to get out ahead of the changes that will have to happen at the DMV for the procedures for driver's licenses. So it's good if the governor gets these things signed so that all the processes can be put into place for those things. What the House passed this week is creating an office for missing and murdered Black women and girls. Very powerful testimony. Some family members of affected folks were in the chamber, actually sitting right in front of where my desk is on the House floor. So that is a thing that has been recommended just so that there's some better coordination. We know that there's a lot of disparities in a lot of different places for people of color and for white folks in Minnesota, and this is one area that's a thing that we can do to have some more justice and some more attention paid to those families. The other thing that's sort of the most noteworthy we passed off the House floor on Monday was a ban on so-called conversion therapy.
Right.
And this will be familiar to Northfielders because our city council passed this in the fall of 2022. So this is applies to vulnerable adults and youth.
Right. Can we go back to the office for missing Black women? I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not. I think we might have, but I'm a little confused on that only because we're talking about specifically African American women, but you know, especially women and minorities who are, you know, marginalized populations. I mean, this is not an issue that is unique to African American women. Does this allow for like Native American missing Native American women as well, or other members of the marginalized populations?
I am not fully versed on this, but it's my understanding that we do already have some thing for missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, I think it's called, and expanded beyond, you know, women and girls. So my understanding is that is something that already exists. There's some kind of legislation that has happened at the state for that population. And then this is sort of like building on the successes and the things that we've learned from a similar structure for our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives.
Okay. So is this an investigative office? Is this law enforcement? How does it work exactly?
Yep. I believe it's both of those things. It's mainly, my understanding is that it's like a coordinating entity, because often there is trafficking involved. There's, you know, crossing of different political boundaries, so that this gives some law enforcement, some investigative power to try to do some looking into these scenarios. I think also it's interesting. There was maybe this summer, there was a young white woman who went on a road trip with her boyfriend and disappeared, and the amount of press that got versus the fact that this is happening all too frequently to predominantly, you know, women of color and Indigenous women. So I'm not sure if there's like any sort of press apparatus, but certainly it's a we want some actual manpower behind being able to investigate and put effort into tracking these folks down and bringing to justice their captors.
Well, we have a case in Northfield from this past summer. I know that the Northfield Police Department, that's still an open case. They're still working on it, but we haven't mentioned L. Reagan's name, I don't think, on this station probably since last fall. But that's an open case. We still don't know what has become of that little girl. And it's this is the kind of thing, I guess, then that office is going to work on. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And then conversion therapy ban.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, the city council did ban that in Northfield last year.
Mm-hmm.
There was some pushback on that, though, in the House, wasn't there?
There was not too much.
Good.
It was a pretty incredibly moving testimony from some of my colleagues. One of my first term pals, Brianna Curran, who represents the North Metro, found over the weekend a journal that she had written when she was 15 years old and is a queer identifying person. And so I sit close enough to her on the floor. I, you know, watched her trembling. And as Beyonce says, when you're trembling, that's when the magic happens. And she read her personal journals of just the despair that she felt as a gay kid. And it was just really, really incredible and passed with bipartisan support. So I can't remember. There's at least 5 Republicans who voted with all of the Democrats to ban this practice for youth and vulnerable adults.
That's great. I'm sure that was a compelling moment to hear her read that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just openly weeping on the House floor. I couldn't go over and give her a hug because I would have just lost it.
Right.
So
right.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
That's great. So what else are you working on, Representative Purcell, besides getting yourself out of your driveway?
Yes, well, that will be a project for when we hang up the phone. But even in my short time up at the Capitol this week, I felt the love. I got to see a number of friends up there. So Superintendent of the Year for Minnesota, Dr. Matt Hillman, and 3 of our school board members came up and they attended an Education Finance Committee meeting where I presented my first bill in that committee. So Amy Gorowitz and Robert Coleman and Claudia Gonzalez-George all joined Dr. Hillman, who came up and then got back before the snow started on Tuesday.
What's your bill?
It was really great to have some family in the room.
That's got to be awesome, right? What is the bill that you presented?
So, like many things I've learned, there is a different organizational structure for certain things inside the Metro. versus what is available to us in greater Minnesota. So that's including this long-term facilities maintenance fund.
Right.
That is for public school districts to make improvements on their buildings, whether they own or rent the space.
Mm-hmm.
So the bill that I presented that will possibly be included in the omnibus bill for education finance just says that groups that are incorporated differently, like we might have to be in greater Minnesota, so as joint powers groups or as co-ops, we also can access these long-term facilities maintenance funds. So it's not anything, you know, real sexy, but it's pretty important. So like Northfield is in an educational co-op with Faribault, mm-hmm. for some of our highest need,
right.
Special education. And there's some laws on the books about, you know, if we're incorporated as a co-op and can we use these particular funds for building maintenance. So this should hopefully create some more flexibility and clear up some of that.
That long-term maintenance facility law was something that was created by Northfield's own Kevin Dahl when he was in the Senate.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. So,
the legacy continues.
I love it.
I'm trying.
You're doing great. Okay, Representative Purcell, is there anything else that you would like to let us know about before we send you on your way?
Well, I have. I'll just reiterate that I try to be as responsive as I can with the time I have available to reply to emails, meeting requests, and certainly if folks find themselves up at the Capitol complex, please let me know. And there are a few times where I've been able to just, you know, duck off the House floor or duck out of committee to just say hi or to have folks walk with me from one meeting to another.
Mm-hmm.
So if constituents are up there, please let my office know so that I can see you and we can touch base.
Fantastic. And what's your email? What's the best way to email you, get a hold of you that way?
Sure. Well, you can use my official email, which is rep.christy.purcell@house.mn.gov. And you can also look that up on the Minnesota House website.
Right.
It also on the House website says who my legislative assistant is, Callie Murphy.
Okay.
And she's the keeper of my schedule. So
gotcha.
You can email me. I might have to forward it on to her, or if you would like to make a meeting either for in-district when I'm around on Fridays typically. I've been doing phone calls while I'm commuting because I have 84 miles round trip.
Yep.
Or you can just email Callie directly to set up an in-person meeting for in-district or for up at the Capitol.
Fantastic. Well, Representative Purcell, I hope you get yourself dug out, and I hope you and your family are safe and have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Lisa. We'll talk next week.
Again.
And-